Uni High, in collaboration with WILL, present the following special podcast series: Changing the Narrative, Preventing Gun Violence in Champaign-Urbana.
Gun violence is a pervasive issue for our community. According to the News Gazette, the daily newspaper of record in Champaign, Illinois, 35 people in Champaign-Urbana have died due to gun-related incidents between 2014 and 2019 alone, which demonstrates a marked increase in the frequency and severity of these violent events. However, our community has responded with determination and compassion in order to work towards a more peaceful future. This podcast delves into the essential anti-violence work being done in Champaign-Urbana. We've interviewed local activists, organizers, politicians, and entrepreneurs to learn more about counteracting gun violence. From Uni High, I'm Aditi Adve, a current sophomore and member of the class of 2023. This is Healing a Community: How Gun Violence Trauma Shapes People, the last in our series, Changing the Narrative, Preventing Gun Violence in Champaign-Urbana. The previous podcast explored how gun violence interacts with mental health issues. This episode dives into the ways in which gun violence traumatizes communities. We'll learn about trauma-informed teaching, culturally embedded counseling, and supporting victims of domestic violence. A warning: this program contains graphic descriptions of gun violence and may not be appropriate for all listeners. We spoke with Tracy Parsons, who serves as the City of Champaign Community Relations Manager and facilitates the Champaign Community Coalition, about gun violence in our community.
Gun violence really surfaced in our community in a new and different way in the last 3 to 4 years. In 2015 is when we really saw our biggest increase in gun violence. Other communities have experienced it differently. Most of the major cities, gunfire and gun activity and gang activity, all of those things have been a big part of them. Not in communities like ours. This is all relatively new.
Tracy Parsons emphasized the way in which gun violence affects not only individuals, but the community as a whole.
There is nothing like having to talk to a mom or a sister or a brother that has lost a family member to gun violence. There's nothing that prepares you for that. There's no training. Maybe if you're a doctor or something, that you're used to seeing people in traumatic spaces or states. But as a community worker, community organizer, there's nothing that prepares you for that. It is tough. It's sad. It's very destructive. And it really is probably the most important community issue for us to solve right now. There's just no easy way to do it other than to do it.
Dr. Ruby Mendenhall, an associate professor of sociology at the University of Illinois, researches social inequality. Her current academic research incorporates African American studies, urban planning and development, and biology in order to understand a holistic picture of trauma and its long-run effects on historically marginalized populations.
Well, there's research now on adverse childhood experiences that talk about exposure to different stresses. It can affect your physical health and your mental health as adults.
Dr. Mendenhall's work took her to the City of Chicago's Robert Taylor Homes, a large public housing project on the city's south side, which has now been demolished. At Robert Taylor, Dr. Mendenhall spoke with mothers raising children in a community surrounded by gun violence.
So one mother talked about how her daughter, like one of her friends was shot in the back of the head. I think her son saw one of his friends shot through the eye, right? So her children had this exposure to their friends, right, being exposed to it. Another mother talked about how their child, like two of the friends, the child was there when bullets hit one friend, and then the child was present when bullets hit another friend.
Children who grow up experiencing this type of violence need wraparound support in order to help them process their trauma in a healthy way. Support can come from mentoring, counseling, or creative extracurricular activities. However, essential mental health services are often unavailable for families who have been systemically underserved. For the mother whose children witnessed their friends being shot, finding counseling proved difficult.
She said there's supposed to be counseling, but she called the school and the counselor was busy. She called again, the counselor was busy, and like called back the next day. And I think she did it 3 times and then she just stopped. So to me, that was really hard to hear because, again, that's very traumatic, right, to see your friend shot in the head and the eye and not to be able to process that with someone.
Trauma-informed care is instrumental for individuals who have been exposed to situations such as the shooting Dr. Mendenhall described.
You need a safe place to kind of talk about the trauma, to talk about your experiences. Hopefully, that person also has experience in terms of understanding where children are developmentally, and so they may not have words for the emotions that they're feeling, but helping them to give them words, helping them to figure out how they want to process it, right? Some children are very talkative, so maybe they want to talk. Others are quiet, and maybe they need to move around or create music or let it come out through poetry. So I think that it would be good, especially, and it really needs to be culturally sensitive, right? So it needs to be embedded in the person's culture and not outside of it, because then it's hard to embrace something that's not a part of who you are. And it feels like you have to be someone else to incorporate the counseling.
Those affected by trauma need space to discuss their experiences with mental health providers who can truly empathize with them. Professor Mendenhall introduced the concept of culturally embedded counseling, mental health care that respects and builds on cultural and socioeconomic experiences in order to holistically treat patients. Without culturally embedded counseling, traumatized individuals may feel misunderstood, and the therapy experience can be less impactful.
When I talk with the mother, sometimes that's the critique that they have of mental health services, that the therapist is not familiar with their experiences and so spends a lot of time asking them, so what is that like? Wow, that happened to you. And they want someone who can come in and say, yeah, right, either I know what that's like or wow, that must have really been hard. And then on top of that, you're also dealing with the racial issues. Like when you ask me, like, what was it like, right? So I think it can be helpful, and I know that it also should be culturally embedded.
Counseling can be especially important for students because the trauma they have survived has ripple effects in other areas of their lives, such as performance in school. Tracy Parsons explains how violence can negatively influence children's education.
If you think about as a student, if you live in a neighborhood or if you don't live in that neighborhood, but you hear about gun violence or someone you know has been harmed, injured, or hurt through gun violence, and you're aware of this and you're thinking about these things at night and you're coming to school with these kinds of things on your mind, you're probably not pretty focused on school, right?
No.
You're thinking about these kind of things.
Dr. Mendenhall believes schools should play an essential role in helping students deal with trauma by using a framework of trauma-informed pedagogy in order to teach students while prioritizing their mental health.
So think about like what kind of programs, almost making it a part of school culture to talk about trauma and what trauma does and ways that you can be resilient despite exposure to trauma. So a friend of mine, she's doing like trauma-informed trainings for teachers and other people because sometimes when you see children, they're acting out, they're having a hard time concentrating, they seem mad, they may be turning over chairs, right, instead of immediately like, oh, you know, something's wrong with them. To think about, well, maybe they have experienced some trauma. Maybe they're trying to release some emotions. Maybe they're acting out something that has happened. It could be gun violence, sexual violence, all kind of things. But to kind of come at it from a trauma-informed perspective.
Aside from counseling through the school system, kids affected by trauma can benefit from outside support programs. Community activist Joshua Payne spoke to us about a mentoring program called Truce, where he serves as an outreach worker. The program pairs kids with trained adults who help guide them through school while addressing their personal needs due to trauma.
Like, I personally mentee about 2 or 3 kids, and then some of the other anti-violence coordinators that I work with in our organization, they have a sector of kids that they mentor or advocate for. So whether you take a direct mentoring role with a kid, I short-term mentor them around the trauma because I have direct access to trauma-informed agencies and peer advocating agencies. So I'm able to use my street knowledge and street training around violence prevention to help and bring in trauma counselors to help kind of clear the smoke.
Trauma-informed care means that counselors must understand the patterns that lead to violence and acknowledge the intersectionality of racism, sexism, and economic injustice. For example, domestic violence represents a subset of gun violence and disproportionately affects African-American women. Fahmy Fletcher is a lifelong Champaign-Urbana resident who works for the Urbana Fire Department and serves on the board of Courage Connection, a local organization dedicated to helping victims of domestic abuse. She spoke with us about the essential services this organization provides.
Courage Connection is an agency that provides support for survivors of domestic violence. We currently offer a range of services. We offer an emergency shelter. We offer services like court advocacy. We offer some forms of career counseling. We offer transitional housing for survivors and their children who need somewhere to go while they get back on their feet. Those services are completely free. Anybody can use them. It doesn't matter your economic status. You can be a millionaire or have $3 in your pocket. You can be a man, a woman. If you are trying to escape a domestic violence situation, Courage Connection can help you.
For Ms. Fletcher, domestic violence work is personal. This is her story.
We got married when I was 20. He was 22. We had my son, and then a couple years later, we had my daughter. And we were married in total for 11 years. Probably about the midpoint of our marriage, domestic violence began to be an issue. And so it began to be a pervasive issue where it became clear that it wasn't just a one-time thing. I felt as though it was going to continue to come up. And so actually before I left the last time, I'd made several attempts to leave multiple times before that, and just different circumstances in life and work and my family always kind of led me back. And I just thought, well, we'll try again. We'll try to make this work. The final straw that led me to leave the last time, there was an episode one day where my son was in middle school and he was supposed to go to basketball practice and then catch the bus home. Well, it got to be late. It got to be dark outside and he still wasn't home. So we were kind of panicking like, oh my gosh, where is he? Where's my son? And a friend of mine who lived down the street called me and she said, hey, I want you to know your son's here and he doesn't want to come home. That was kind of the slap in the face that I needed to say, something has to be different. I can't let my children be this affected that they don't feel comfortable coming home. And so it was that night that I decided, okay, we're going to make an exit plan. And of course, I didn't tell him, but that was certainly kind of the straw that broke the camel's back.
According to the National Domestic Violence Hotline, the most dangerous time in an abusive relationship comes after the victim has escaped. Leaving an abusive situation takes control away from the abusive partner, which often results in dangerous acts of retaliation. Fahmy's ex-husband asked for a ride across town a few weeks after their separation, and she agreed. He shot her while in the car.
So I was shot 8 times. I sustained 7 gunshot wounds to my right arm and my torso, and 1 gunshot to my head. And I was conscious for most of the episode. In fact, I made my own 911 call, and I remember very vividly arriving in the emergency room and thinking, well, you know, hurry up and get working because it's probably pretty bad.
Fahmy Fletcher recovered from the shooting, and her experiences have informed the way she approaches her work for Courage Connection.
Survivors of domestic violence face lots of issues in trying to escape their situations. I feel like I was very fortunate that I had a really supportive group of people at work, and the community was very supportive. My incident was very public. It was in the newspaper, and people were like starting GoFundMe accounts and all kinds of stuff. But everyone doesn't have those resources. And so Courage Connection is an agency that can help provide some of those necessary resources for people to be able to be okay after leaving a violent situation.
Courage Connection aims to assist victims not only with emergency shelter and transitional housing, but through supportive services such as trauma-informed counseling. Over the years, the concept of trauma training has grown not only in the Champaign-Urbana community, but nationally. Dr. Mendenhall told us about a recent initiative to support trauma survivors through storytelling.
So we recently, we're doing a study, community healing through digital storytelling. And so we had focus groups where we asked people, so tell us about the violence. How do you think that's affecting people in Champaign-Urbana? And people are concerned about the level of violence that's taking place here. So listening to the stories, listening to people's concerns, it's a big deal. And even going to community coalition meetings. So, yes, I think it's significant and something to think about and to address. And so our project, we collected stories. We actually have them on the web if people are interested. And now we're trying to think about and asking community members, well, what do you need to heal from? We also talk about racial trauma, right? So again, racial trauma is historical trauma that has been a part of the Black and brown experience in the U.S. that, again, sets the conditions for what we're seeing. So what do people feel like they need to kind of heal from that type of trauma?
Trauma can come from many sources, including violent events, though underlying issues can be equally traumatizing. Trauma-informed care operates from a framework that acknowledges patterns of racial, economic, and gender-based discrimination, as well as traumatizing incidents such as gun violence. Trauma-informed teaching and counseling are meant to address these interconnected issues through a holistic practice that prioritizes each individual's specific needs. Hopefully, a continued focus on trauma-informed practice can contribute to a more peaceful future for our community. Thank you for listening to Healing a Community, How Gun Violence Trauma Shapes People, the fourth and final episode of Changing the Narrative, Preventing Gun Violence in Champaign-Urbana, a student-produced podcast by UniHigh's Oral History Project team. Each episode in this series focuses on a component of anti-violence work, including community organizations, gun legislation, mental health, and trauma recovery. All interviews featured in this podcast were conducted in May 2019 by Uni's 8th grade class. If you'd like to listen to previous episodes of Changing the Narrative, check out the WILL website at will.illinois.edu/illinoisyouthmedia.